We'll make sure that that happens. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. We've been in the book of Philippians throughout July, and we were away last week, and I heard you had just an outstanding worship time here, and how wonderful that is. And Pastor Ken preached the word, but Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 12. If we could put that first verse up, and then we're going to go back, Eric, in a moment. But I'm going to read one word to you from verse 12. Therefore, anytime there's a therefore in the scripture, you need to find out what is Paul or the writer, whoever writes this, why does he say therefore? Well, let's go back to those verses if we can. And he says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, verse 6, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, power to be held on to. Think about that in our own lives, in our own walk. I'm going to hang on to this because it's mine. But Jesus, being in equality with God, chose not to hang on to his power and his authority, being creator of all things, Scripture tells us. But he lets it go. He says, I have to let it go because there's a people that my God has created in his image that desperately need salvation. So next verse, verse 7. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Of course, we know how he came. Next verse. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even death on a cross, the worst form of death. Deuteronomy says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. He became a curse for us so that the curse would be broken. We are no longer under a curse when we are in Christ. Say amen. Amen. No longer under a curse when we are in Christ. It's finished. The work's complete. Even death on a cross, verse 9. Oh, I love these verses. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. The name that's above every name. The only name by which we can be saved. Saved by grace, not by works. Next verse. Now these two next verses are astounding. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Let's read it again. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. It doesn't say a few knees. It says every knee shall bow, because there is a day. Even those who have rejected Jesus Christ will bow. They will bow. They will know and they will see that he is King. He is Lord. And this is quite a statement that some of you might wonder, but he will break the knees of some that refuse. Even though they see he is Lord, with a rod of iron, the scripture talks about, he will break their knees. They will bow. He is King. But his heart's desire is that all come by grace, that all come through the love of God. For it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. It's his love that draws us. Come on, are you not glad? Are you not thrilled this morning that you've been drawn by the love of God? It's the love of God. So great a salvation. Verse 11. And Chase, you're living up to your name this morning. Could you come grab him? Thank you. Thank you. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Watch this. To the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will confess. To whose glory? God the Father. The Father. We could end the service right here and somebody's saying, I'm hungry, let's do it. Wow. Wow. What verses? Verse 12. Therefore, that's why he goes back. That's why he says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, let me stop here for a moment, too, because we're going to camp on this verse for a moment. But why is Paul doing this? Why is Paul writing this letter imprisoned in Rome to this church that he so loves, this group of people in Philippi? They've supported him. He loves them. Because if you read back in chapter 1, he says this in verse 21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I'm going to paraphrase what he's saying, but he's saying, I have a sense. I long to go and be with Christ. I long to be with Christ, but I long to be with you. And he says, I'm not sure which one. He says, I'm going to choose. Fascinating statement. Almost as if the Lord was saying to him, Paul, you've now done so much for me. You can choose. Would you like to come and be with me? Or would you like to stay behind? What would you like to do? I believe there's a time in our life God could say that to us. Paul so loved these people. And the reason he's writing this letter to them is that he's encouraging the church, just like we're doing this morning. I'm encouraging you in Christ. Don't follow the pastors. Follow Jesus Christ. Now, I should bring some clarity to following the shepherds, but I won't. But please do follow us, but ultimately you follow Christ. You follow Jesus. That's why he's writing this. He says, I don't know if I'm going to be here. Follow Christ, your Savior, the author, the finisher of our faith. Follow Christ. But he says something so interesting here. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's not the kind of fear where we get the word phobia in the Greek from, where we would be terrified to stand before God. That would violate 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out all fear. That would violate that scripture. We don't have a phobia of God. We're not terrified of God. Prior, yes, but now in Christ, because the veil has been torn, the blood has been shed, Christ has placed it on the mercy seat, we stand before God, cleansed, free, set free by Jesus Christ and his grace and his goodness. Because if we still had to work at our salvation, that again would violate the fact that we come to faith in Christ by grace, not by any works, lest any man boast. We come by grace, folks. But Paul is saying, okay, when you do that, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The fear and the trembling that he's talking about here is the mighty reverence and awe of our God and what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. Have you been in awe this week of God? I want you just to ponder that. Have you been in awe of God? Have you been in awe of what Christ has done? Our culture is such that we are a culture of comfort. And often that comfort is taking away the awe, the awesomeness of God. The incredible salvation. Hebrews says, paraphrasing again, man, don't turn away from so great a salvation. So great a salvation. We were hellbound. But Jesus intercepted, and the detour is now heaven-bound because of what he's done for us by grace. So great a salvation. You think of the suffering that's going on that I just read in Mosul. And we're so far removed from it. And thank you, Lord, that we are. But maybe not. Brothers and sisters have died in Mosul. People have died in Mosul. One picture was of a school where ISIS mowed down while the children were inside. I'm so glad we serve a God of grace. The crazy question is, people actually say that God did that. God had nothing to do with that. But we're left to do something about it. Would you stand for just one moment? Man, I'm not going to be much longer. Let's stand together for a minute. We got to do this. Seriously. Have you thought? Have you really thought about the salvation you have received this week? Have you really thought? I'm saying us. About what Christ has done for you. His love, his goodness, his grace, his mercy. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the scripture says. But wow, that interception, the cross, Jesus took everything, placed, it was all placed on him. God, revive our hearts to how great a salvation we have all received. Amen. For 1 minute, let's let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. 1 minute. And think about the great salvation that you've received. Jesus Christ. Father, you know everybody's heart here today. Everyone. And your Spirit is at work right now in all of us to remind us of what we have received. And at times, Father, forgive us, we've taken your salvation for granted. We forget the day that we gave our life to Christ. We forget the penalty and the price that was paid for us, the blood that was shed, poured out. Every head bowed, I'm going to ask right now, if there's anybody here who's never received Christ, would you lift your hand? Say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus this morning. I need this Christ. And I'll pray with you, or someone will pray with you after the service, all right? So every head's bowed. Would you lift a hand if there's anyone here and say, I need Christ. Is there anyone this morning? Could we be honest this morning? Could we say that we have forgotten how great a salvation that we truly have received? Could we lift our hands to that this morning? We have forgotten how great a salvation we've received. Come on, church, everyone. Let's lift our hands to the Lord in worship. Lord, here we are. What a salvation we've received. What a salvation. And Lord, we sang about when that trump shall sound, the only thing we're going to have is being clothed in your righteousness. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's go to the next verse, please. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. He's working in you. You can be seated. He's working in you. There is no way that I could stand up here and preach, share the gospel, no way that you could be doing what you're doing in your faith and sharing the gospel if you were not open and willing to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life and understanding that it is God who is working and willing to work in you. There is no way, as I shared earlier, that I could have ever dreamt years ago that I would stand and preach and that one day I may just walk in the place where Jonah preached. You cannot order those things of yourself, folks. But it is God who is at work. And Paul was saying to this church, let the Holy Spirit do the work that only the Spirit can do within you. Let him work it out. Let him work for his purpose. Let him work for his plan. Just as I said to one young man this week, I said, don't be like me and fight God. Just say yes to the plans of God. Just say yes to the things that God wants to do and let his Spirit work in and through you. For it is God who is at work acting for his good purpose, or the other translation says his good pleasure. God sees you as his pleasure, his joy, his love, and he's working in you. And he doesn't want you to be lukewarm Christians. I said it. I told you sometimes if you step on your toes, bring steel-toed boots to church, right? You can handle it. I love you. I'm saying that to myself. God does not want us, Jesus does not want us to be the Laodicean church, but you were lukewarm, so I spewed you out. You're neither hot nor cold. And as Jesus preached that, he's in a valley where hot water, hot pools, like if you go to the hot springs in Banff, roll down this side. And the other side is ice cold, refreshing water, the hot being healing, the cold being refreshing. But then they mix and they become lukewarm and they're good for nothing. You're neither hot healing, you're neither cold refreshing, you're lukewarm. Oh, church, let's not be lukewarm. God is at work in us, working through us. His Spirit is at work. We just have to say, yes, Lord, do what you've got to do. So I answered when Terry called me a week and a half ago. I answered what any of you would answer when he said, Mark, I want you to come. I said, I'm on holidays. It's stupid written across my forehead sometimes. It's like, really? I said, Terry, I'll give you the spiritual answer. I'll pray. It's just like, and then that was it. The Spirit said, you're to go. You're to go. God's at work in you. Next verse. Doing everything without complaining or arguing. Next verse, please. It ain't more clear than that. I've never done anything like that. Okay. Verse 15. So that you may become blameless, pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Wow. You know what's so great about this? There was a lot of teaching many years ago that, you know, this passage in Corinthians, come ye out from amongst them. Well, people came out from amongst them and went up and lived on some mountain waiting for the return of Jesus. It's not what this means. This means that your light. Jesus said in Matthew 6, you are the light of the world. There needs to be some light. By the way, let's stop talking about Mosul. What about in Medicine Hat? We as pastors and staff met a number of weeks ago. Pastor Ken, you were there. And we, all of our, I think, jaws dropped when we heard this statistic. We met with a drug counselor who is an addictions counselor. All of the staff, because we wanted to get some understanding of what people who are addicted are going through, trying to work with them, trying to prepare our own lives and our hearts for the people that are here and are coming. Because the Lord is going to bring them, but we got to be ready for that. She shared with us a statistic that I think is going to, it should shock you, it should grieve you, but it should send us to our knees. There is a needle exchange building in this city on 2nd Street where people who have struggles with addiction, and do not judge them, they're humans made in the image of God who need help. But they can exchange needles so that they're using clean needles for their drug addiction. Otherwise, it can kill them, or there's HIV, and so on and so forth. You get the picture. Last year, in this city of Medicine Hat, 400,000 needles were exchanged. 400,000. And as I was praying to the Lord about Mosul and looking at the destruction, the Lord says, it's no different in your city. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the buildings are standing, but there's a lot of destructive work of Satan still going on in Medicine Hat. It's time to let the Lord work. And it's time for all of us to let our light shine before men. The wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're it, because he has chosen you before the foundations of the world, and we have work to do, not lukewarmness. We've got work to do. Hillcrest has work to do. First Assembly has work to do. The Catholic Church has work to do. We've all got work to do in the body. But there is only one church, there is only one body, and it's united by Jesus Christ. We've got work to do. Let the Spirit unite us across this city, and let our hearts be broken for what is going on. But after that, let us move in faith and the power of the Spirit to see that statistic change. Can I hear a big amen? Let's see it happen. By the power of God. By the power of God. So let your light shine in this mess of a world. You know, we come, Lord Jesus, come. Yes, but man, let's get to work. Next verse, and I'll close with this. Sometime. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Hold on to the word and hold out the word. Hold on to the word and hold out the word. What are you going to base your life on? What are you going to base your hope in the situation you're in? What are you going to do with it? You have to first hold on to the word. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. What are you going to hold on to? As we look at the whole world is shaking. Romans says that all of creation is waiting with eager expectation, waiting for the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation is shaking because it can't handle the very weight of what's going on. It can't. It can't, but the answer is Christ. It's Jesus. So as you hold on to the word, you hold out the word. What does that mean? You tell people about Jesus. You hold out, Darren, the word. My life is anchored in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Jesus. That I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the Bema seat when he's going to stand before the Lord and he gets to boast before Jesus in Christ. Hey, look at the Philippian church, Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, oh, well done, Paul. Well done. Wow. Amazing. Well done. And let me close with this thought. Would the worship team come? And I'd love to sing just a couple of verses of that last song, Cornerstone, if we could. Let's stand. Let me tell you about, very briefly for a moment or two, about the Bema seat, it's called. And it's not actually called that in Corinthians, but it's the judgment seat of Christ. But we've been taught, you know, so much we're going to fear when, no, we're not. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. When we're in Christ, there is no fear, right? But our works, the things that we have labored and done for in the Lord, are going to be brought before us. And you know, we got thinking about this one day, and the amazing, the awesomeness of that time, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know, I got to thinking, well, you know, all us preachers are going to be there waiting for our big reward. And Jesus is going to call me up one day, and he's going to say, Mark, and I'm going to go, yes, and I'm going to be there waiting for my big reward. He says, you see this huge trophy? I said, yeah, and I'm thinking it's mine, right? He says, I want you to come hold this. So I hold this trophy. Look what I did. And he says, well, and he goes down, and he grabs one of you. And he said, that trophy's for you because you prayed for your church for years and years and years. And the Holy Spirit moved and brought a revival. To your church. And I'm going to go, what? And it'll be this little old beautiful widow that will receive this massive trophy. You see, that's the reward seat of Jesus. Each of you will be there if you know Christ. And so Paul was talking to this church like he's talking to us one day, because he's talking to us through this word that he has written today. I pray that I can boast about you at the reward seat, River Valley Community Church. You read my book. Your pastors are preaching through it. Let it inspire you. Let the Holy Spirit work in you and do the work that he's called you to do. Could you sing a couple verses of that? Sorry, I moved your monitors and all that stuff, but okay, the last song, Eric, and let's worship the Lord, and I'll come and close in prayer.